Thank you. We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Mayor Fung, your administration had imposed caps on pension cost of living adjustments for police and firefighters. Superior Court Judge Sarah Taft Carter ruled last month that the caps were reasonable and necessary. How would you describe the statewide significance of the judge's ruling in this matter?
It's a historic day because that's the first post-trial decision supporting a municipality or any state entities in Rhode Island's opportunity to reform our pension system, and found that our actions in breaking the contract promise was reasonable and necessary in order to effectuate and save that plan. And it saved our taxpayers $6 million annually.
Before we go to Scott, I'd like to move from pensions to panhandling. There's a lot of attention right now on the panhandling that goes on in downtown Providence, not far from our studio. This is clearly an issue for Mayor Alorza in Providence. How would you handle this?
We do have also a panhandling situation because we were caught up in that ACLU lawsuit as well. But I think we have to address it on two fronts. First of all, it is a public safety issue that we have to address, not only for the safety of the panhandler, but people in their vehicles too, because I've seen all too often with the distracted driving, people aren't paying attention, someone's paying on and near misses. Second front is the whole homeless issue in general. You know, I read a great Washington Post article about a Republican mayor down there that is taking a proactive initiative on the homeless initiative, trying to offer them opportunities to get them off the streets from panhandling. That's some of the initiatives I'm going to take a look at in Cranston to try to combat this problem.
What do you do, though, about a lot of these folks who seem to have fairly severe mental illness and mental issues?
Those are the tough issues right there, and I think we need more resources to address mental health issues because that problem percolates. We can't just be a society where we just push people out into the streets, especially with, you know, severe issues that, you know, that we have to handle from a public safety aspect, because people don't know how to approach someone. They might not be in the public realm, you know, capable to address someone with mental health issues or know how to even, you know, approach someone with that respect.
60 Minutes has reported how the life insurance industry is under fire for not paying death benefits to beneficiaries. Back in 2012, MetLife paid $500 million to settle a related probe. You were a government relations counsel in Rhode Island for MetLife from 2001 to 2009. Were you aware of any of these questionable practices taking place at that time?
I'm not even sure what that settlement was about, because I finished with MetLife in 2009. So, you know, just when I came sworn. So I'm not exactly sure what that settlement's about.
Are you familiar with this issue involving the life insurance industry? Do you have any reaction to it?
I was head of government relations for the PNC company, probably auto and homeowners insurance. I did some work for the life insurance, so I'm not fully familiar with what you're talking about on the life settlements.
I'm wondering, on the pension side, it still seems to be, to me, a huge problem in Rhode Island, along with the municipalities. As you know, then General Treasurer Raimondo did address the state side. Mm-hmm. You were on some of the committees, and you agreed with then-Governor Chafee that what we needed to do was get some enabling legislation to help the municipalities deal with some of these problems and some of this unfunded liability that's only going to hit future taxpayers. Is there still a need at the State House for such legislation? The governor seems to have gone deaf on this.
Absolutely. And that's what's so frustrating, because the governor was aware when she was treasurer about the need for reform, actually supported the work that that first commission was doing. In fact, that's why myself and Ernie Almonte, the then auditor general, former auditor general, was on that first commission. I was part of the second commission that looked at municipal problems with pensions and OPEB, and that report is sitting on a shelf, and the fact that it's sitting on a shelf is definitely disturbing to me, because it's, like you said earlier, it's a looming crisis.
So where does the leadership come from? Is it going to come from the League of Cities and Towns, or?
We're going to continue to press for those enabling legislations year after year, but it also becomes a fight on our priorities too, because we are always battling on the defensive against, you know, any impact to our management rights to manage our budgets and do what's effective for the taxpayers. But that is a high priority, because finances are, you know, very thin at the local level. There's not many sources of revenues. Unless we start addressing some of these long-term legacy problems, pensions, retiree health care, those OPEB issues, we're going to be staring at the face of a gun's barrel down the line as taxpayers if municipalities aren't given the power to do what they need to do.
And OPEB refers to other post-employment benefits, mostly health care. We're talking here with Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. And Mayor, you're running for re-election this year. You're being taken on by Democrat Michael Seepy. If you win this year, it'll be the last time you can run for mayor of Cranston due to term limits. At this point, are you willing to rule out the possibility of running for governor again in 2018?
What I can tell you guys and tell your listeners is the only race that I'm concerned about is this race for mayor of Cranston. And as this issue has come up, I've told everyone I'm committed to being mayor and to serve for the term of mayor. And that's the only race I'm looking at. I'll leave
So you would serve out the 4-year term if elected as mayor?
That's what I'm committed to, you know, and that's what I've said to the residents of Cranston.
I'm just wondering, you were one of the few folks actually in the state's political hierarchy who was fairly skeptical about gay marriage. Now that it's taken place, it doesn't look like, as Bishop Tobin said, we're headed for the moral sewer. I haven't seen Aquidneck Island split off and float out into Narragansett Bay. I don't think a lot of Rhode Islanders, except for maybe getting more wedding invitations, really think that this has done any damage to the state.
No, and Mike, my reflection on gay marriage wasn't that I was critical or skeptical. The problem that I had with the initial legislation was it didn't carve out the exemption for, like, Catholic. I just became Catholic. That doesn't recognize gay marriage for the religious context of it. But once the legislation had that, I was more prone to be okay with it. So it wasn't any type of criticism against gay marriage, the sky's falling type that I had with it. It was more that...
Well, Bishop Tobin certainly did.
Bishop Tobin did, but I also respect Bishop Tobin and what, you know, he was fighting for, because that is the Catholic religion.
You're looking to use the Rodon Infrastructure Bank to refinance the cost of privatizing Cranston's wastewater system. That had been done by one of your Republican predecessors, Michael Trafficante. Usually we see Republicans calling for privatization. Why are you looking to make this move, and does this raise questions about the value of privatization?
I don't think it raises the question of privatization at all. I think what it raises is the opportune time for the financial markets to take advantage of the financial markets. And with this transaction, by the way, we're not extending the time. We're just taking advantage of the incredible good deals we have in rates and our very favorable bond ratings, which is the highest we've had in decades. We're going to be saving about $3 million over the life of the cost of those bonds with the refi. So it's about dollars and cents.
Are you voting for Donald Trump?
I'm voting for the Republican nominee at this time.
Why won't you just say I'm for Donald Trump?
Because unlike, you know, when I was supporting Chris Christie and out endorsing him, you know, he's our party nominee. I'm voting for him at this time. But, you know, it's up to Donald Trump to convince the voters across the country, that, including myself, that he deserves to be president.
To bring it back to Rodon, as we're close to running out of on time, Mayor, you obviously were the Republican gubernatorial candidate against Democrat Gina Raimondo in 2014. She won. What kind of job do you think she's doing?
Well, I think the highlight so far has been, you know, her historic day where she was sworn in as governor, first female governor of the state of Rhode Island. But I certainly don't support what some of the initiatives that she's put through, like roadworks. I think there's better ways to finance our roads and infrastructure, just like what I've done in Cranston. You know, we're going out for a $20 million bond to double the amount of roads that we're going to be doing. But we did that over time, by watching our finances, getting our bond rating to the highest it's been, watching our spending. There's different approaches, and that's what I'm about.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here, Ian.
And Cranston Mayor Alan Fung.
Thanks again, everyone.